B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, where's Matt Light?
He is currently in the woods killing something.
What?
He's the one who picked this time, 11 a.m. So, I've spoken with him yesterday, and his wife just said he is in the woods. And be careful, because I can't get a hold of him. His cell is sketchy. So, he's killing something in the woods. I don't know. He hunts.
All right, never mind. There goes Matt Light.
Well, I mean, he will call in here at some point, so I'm trying to get in touch with him. So he
what is
this
in
time,
season
so.
Right now?
Doesn't matter. He finds it. People. Manhunt. Go and capture somebody, put a flag on him, say run. You got 20 seconds. Go.
That's wild.
Boar? I don't know.
Wild turkey season. Spring general season is happening now through May 25th.
Good. Yo, he's killing turkey. He blows the head off him. He hunts with bow. Not bow his dog, but an actual bow and arrow.
So he blows the head off with an arrow?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I told you the story around here. Yeah.
Not about the blowing the head off with the arrow.
We'll let him talk about it when he calls in.
I don't know that he's going to.
He's better. I'm
calling right now.
Yep.
He's one of the. Can I come on, you guys? Sure. Yeah. Jerk.
Tom is in Boston. Hey, Tom, what do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the fake crowd noise. Like, definitely don't want to do that.
But for anybody who watched the UFC match over last weekend, the crowd not being there, you could hear every strike, every kick. And it just made it so much more of an enjoyable, visceral experience, in my opinion. I think maybe we might get something similar with there being no crowd at a football.
Right? I got to let you go. That phone was a problem. But here's an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to give you something you never had before. We're going to give you a level of access you've never had before. They're not state secrets being exchanged out there out on the football field, you know? Oh, no, there might be a competitive advantage if someone were to go back and hear maybe a play call or something. Stop it. Stop. Give us more access. Give us more sound. And don't listen to the crybaby coaches and crybaby players on this front if they're the ones that put up the fight against it. Nope. We're going to give you more sound. We're going to give you more of what's going on the field. You're going to get a closer look than you've ever had before because these unique circumstances have provided it. And you know what? Everyone's just going to have to deal with it. Too bad.
Well, the nice thing would be we wouldn't have to deal with silent count. You'd have a regular snap count. Good defensive players will start to hone in on what the quarterback's saying. You know, you'll start hearing certain calls.
Well, that's going to exist no matter what, right?
Yeah, but not really. I mean, when it's loud out there, you can barely, if it's muffled.
I mean with no fans. I'm talking about with no fans,
right.
Though.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what they put on TV, that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch your voice. Yeah. You're going to have to, they're going to cover their face again, you know, with play sheets because they don't want, you know, they get so paranoid about, oh, God, who heard something, right?
Right.
You're going to be very aware. You're going to be very aware of people around your bench, especially when you play on the road.
I wouldn't be aiming the mics at the bench. I'd be aiming them onto the field. So what's going on out in the field?
Yeah.
And, yep, they might even pick up some naughty words. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That may happen.
Quarterback, you could use it to your advantage, too, the snap count. Like, you get guys to jump. So, you know, you won't have to go silent count on the road.
And even if you don't want to air it live, you have, you know, more audio that you can show within the broadcast of, you know, like the NBA does. When the NBA mics up the coaches, and they don't show it to you live. A lot of times they'll show it to you, like they'll replay it back a couple minutes later when they know that there's nothing in there that the coach would be sort of pissed off about or not, again, revealing any secrets. Maybe things along those lines that the NBA has already adopted, you could adopt in the NFL. But I'm sure that there will be coaches, and I'm sure Bill Belichick would be at the top of the list trying to fight back against that. So,
oh, yeah.
Pat's in Rhode Island. Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Pat?
I was calling about the crowd noise thing, and they're already putting those fake fans in certain stadiums, and you can pay to have your picture on them. couldn't they monetize this and allow the fans to somehow have input and control over the noise coming through the speakers?
I'm sure they could, but
how do you monetize it? I'm curious to know. Like, what's your idea there?
Okay, Seattle sells out every game. If you pay $10, they put one of those fake people in the stands. And then at home, you have a way to control the sound coming through the speakers. You have a button to cheer. You have a button to boo, like that old-time hockey game. But they're going to be so desperate for revenue.
Well, that's the $10 plan. If you pay $29.99 a month, they'll actually design a digital version of you.
Oh, God.
And they will put you in your seat at your seat location in the stadium, and you through the app, again, with a subscription,
you know what?
About this $30 a month,
this is gonna be
four-month-long
so worth
season.
It's going to be what so worth it for the 300
What you're able
people.
To do is speak directly in your phone, and you can yell, cheer, clap, whatever it is you want to do. And your guy in the virtual fan base will
Jetsons?
Actually do whatever. You will control him. You will control his voice. You will control all of it.
How would you? You know the guy that sits in front of us, Bulldog, the heavy guy that's double fisting all the time. It gets all sloppy. How do you do that? Like, can you get hammered at home? And the more hammered you are talking into your phone, the drunken sloppy you get at the game. What if you take your shirt off at home? Will those people be able to peel their shirts off? Spell go pats on your stomach.
Yeah. Well, that might be an additional upgrade.
Right.
That might be the $49.99 SimCity NFL 2020 package. So, you know, there's different levels
of
access.
I'm sure this is so worth it for the people that sit in the 300 level. They'll really get on TV. Yeah. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous.
If you bundle it with an NFL Rewind subscription, they give you a discount. So that's what you really want to do.
That guy who sits in front of you so much, though, he's got the same bladder control as your dog. So that guy will drink.
Best thing I've heard all day.
He doesn't feel anything. He doesn't feel the elements. You know what I mean? I mean, he doesn't dress accordingly for
wet
weather.
He's numb. He's numb before he
gets
in the stadium.
He has a wool jacket on, and it's like a sponge, and it absorbs all the water. He has a hat. He doesn't feel anything. He walks in, was a 1 o'clock kick? He probably walks in at 1:10. Right, he's gonna get that last extra beer in the parking lot.
Yeah,
not the potatoes. Pay that $8 for that little one. Yeah, he gets the big boys too. Dude,
I wonder if he had the surgery already. I do. The bladder reinforcement surgery.
Damn right. Tighten up that cap. We're not breaking the seal on that thing. Once you break that seal, man, it's every 5 minutes.
Jeff is in Carver today. Jeff wanted to talk about Corvettes. So what the hell?
Oh, let's do it. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Good.
So, you've got two from McGee, right?
Yes.
Have you seen the new C8s?
I've not seen the brand new ones. I saw them last year's model. Why did...
Wow, the new one's real, real nice.
That's
it looks like a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I used to have two. I used to have 2 6-speeds. Yeah, back in the 90s.
Yeah, I have a 17 Z51. And there's a... I guess Trump shut them down, so now they're paying $30,000 over sticker because they're making the Trump shut down GM to make the ventilators.
Oh, the ventilators, yeah.
So now they're $30,000 over sticker, so they're running short of.
So supply and demand, right?
I could hear Jeff say $30,000 over sticker all day long. Sticker. Hey, Hardy, Corvettes are nice.
Nice car. Anybody wants to call about the Mustang?
I always love that. Yeah, have you seen the new Corvettes? Yeah, they're really nice. What were they last year? They weren't nice last year? Oh, what, the 2018 Mustang? When you're talking about Mustangs, that wasn't a nice one? Like, what are we talking about?
Last year's Corvette looked like an 83. Yeah, they were four doors. It had a four-cylinder engine, but they really did it up for 2020. It's a nice car. Now they're $30,000 over sticker.
They're paying $30,000 over sticker?
That's great.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Car talk, yeah, sure. Baseball talk coming your way. There's one player in particular we will address. So that is Blake Snell. His comments making some waves today. He's getting some attention. But Dan Shaughnessy has a column on the state of baseball. We'll touch on all this coming back on the other side.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow the these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Sideways 617-779-0985, the phone number. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Make sure you go to our website, and that would be 985thesportshub.com. Download our app. Also, make sure you're telling your smart speakers at home to play 985 The Sports Hub. Dan Shaughnessy with a column today about Major League Baseball and where things stand. And his good buddy, Jim Palmer, former Orioles star, emails Dan Shaughnessy at the start of his column today. And Dan's very much against MLB players right now for the way that they are tone deaf on matters. And that's the way that I think that some of their statements and some of the things they've said, whether it be themselves directly or Tony Clark or Scott Boras, I don't think people are siding with Major League Baseball players in any way, shape, or form right now. I think that you could discuss it and maybe say this might be a good point or that might be a good point. But is anyone fully defending everything players are saying right now? Because I don't know if that person exists in terms of the fan base.
No.
We talked about this the other day. They got to shut up on both sides, right? Whether it's Tony Clark or whether it's the owners or you name it, players. Like this guy, Snell, he sounds like an idiot. I'm going to get my money. Got to get my money. Nobody wants to hear that right now. Nobody.
Subject line from Palmer's email to Shaughnessy was pettiness. And Shaughnessy writes, Palmer's missive read in part that the players' union just will never get it. People dying, out of work, can't pay their mortgage, no senior proms, MLB has an abbreviated draft that will disrupt lifelong dreams, and people need a diversion. And Tony Clark doesn't want to set a precedent? Full pay for games with no fans? The players know it's all about revenue. Less money, less pay, and be glad you have a job. Otherwise, stay home and drive your wife crazy. This came after Mark Teixeira said the other day that he would rather play for pennies than miss an entire season of baseball and lose an entire year of the career, as he put it. And I think I saw some of that, and he said, you know, he was talking about, like, what happens if you just stop playing the game for a year and then try to pick it up again? And he said, you know, the long-term value
rest,
of playing
rest. Yeah.
is valuable if you're not concerned about injuries, if you're not someone who's an older player and you're wanting to, you know, have a good career, that stopping may not be a good thing just for your level of play. And so Shaughnessy does have in the story, though, something about the negotiation that went on back in March. The two sides negotiated Tuesday and were scheduled to talk again Wednesday. Hardy, why am I losing the part where he tells us the detail? Where is it?
I can get my paper copy.
Get the paper copy out.
Do you still get the paper?
Oh, here it is. I got it. I have it. The agreement Boras was referring to the other day was the deal that players and owners struck back in March when spring training shut down. The parties agreed to player compensation that was prorated on whatever portion of the season would be played. And Boras the other day, as we talked about, said, well, they said they'd be ready for no fans. Shaughnessy writes, we now know it's roughly half a season, hence half the pay, but owners want additional cuts because they say the agreement that they made back in March has a clause that allows them to make further adjustments if the games are played without attendance revenue. Boom. There it is. If there's a clause in there, then that's the proof that Scott Boras is full of crap. That's what it would be.
Right. And this is where, you know, It's hard to form an opinion on this when we were talking about it yesterday or the day before, because, you know, players, either due to principle or due to the money, they would have every leg to stand on had they agreed to something that said, okay, you're going to get half pay for half the games, regardless of whether there are fans, sponsors, commercials, television, whatever. But according to Shaughnessy's column, he said, what we learned yesterday is that there is a clause in there. It's like, no, you get a certain amount of pay for a certain amount of games, And if there are no fans in the stadiums, they have the right to renegotiate. And if that clause is in fact in there, what can you say? What can you say as a player? I mean, you can be like Blake Snell and just come off as completely tone deaf and you know, borderline insulting. I would say insulting to people who are really, really struggling right now. People don't look at that.
That's the problem with the professional athlete. They don't really look at that, though. Like, they're so tied up in their own bubble. Like, this is about, we're going to war with our owners and our, you know, we got to, that's why we got an ironclad PA that does a great job for us.
Yeah, you know, but that's not what he's saying. He's, I mean, what he's saying
getting,
is
I'm getting
so
my
much,
money.
Right. He says,
I'm entitled
I've got
to
get like, my money. Yeah. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Scheduled, you know, is supposed to make $7 million this year, presumably would only make $3.5 million. And if they further negotiate another, I don't know, 30% out of that, then he's looking at only making a couple million bucks this year. I don't know how you get anyone on your side if you're a player, if you agree to something that allows owners to go back and renegotiate. And you say, no, we're not going to do that now, especially without even factoring in all the outside influences of people being out of work and struggling all over the world. Like, only think about yourselves.
Yeah.
By all means, be completely selfish on this. You still agreed to something that can be renegotiated.
See,
so
that's
for you
the
to
thing,
say,
too.
Now you're not going to renegotiate. You're acting in bad faith.
Look at the Freeman stuff on the NFL. For the NFL to come back, there would be a coronavirus waiver that they would all have to sign, right? And that, the big thing you're hearing with the baseball players is, well, we're putting ourselves at risk, so we should be compensated. Don't take our money away if we're the ones out there that are risking our lives and the livelihood of ours and our families. Pay us.
Yeah,
it's a bad look for
and
baseball.
I don't mean to make light of anyone who is you know, putting themselves at risk, but I'm pretty sure the people working at Stop and Shop are putting themselves at greater risk than baseball players will be.
Oh, they most definitely are.
I mean, it's,
or Walmart, or any Walmart, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Walmart in Worcester.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, if we're going to talk about levels of risk for baseball players, and the level is not quite what it is for a lot of other people who are out there working every day, and those people are taking pay cuts, too.
So Boris's stance on this the other day is that they you know, told us back in March that attendance was not going to impact this. If there is a clause that is in there that says we go back and renegotiate if there is not going to be attendance at the ballparks, and let's be honest, back in March, if you go back 6-7 weeks, you were thinking, okay, maybe there will be fans in the stadium on the back half of the season.
Right.
Maybe we're starting up in July and there are fans there. Well, that's looking less and less likely. And so they're reaching the conclusion that to be able to pull this off, they're not going to have the fans in the building. They're not going to have the revenue of fans. They're not going to have the revenue of all the money the fans spend when they do get to the ballpark. They're not buying concessions. They're not buying the souvenirs. They're not buying parking. They're not buying any of those things. And so now that the teams are going to take a reduction in revenue, I think it's the way that MLB is phrasing this with them, with the you know, we're going to do a 50-50 split, which to them sounds like a salary cap in their mind, right? And they don't want to set the precedent because they don't want, as Tony Clark said, that they don't want precedent because they don't want the owners then saying, well, actually we should do this every year going forward. However, Tony Clark in 2018 has comments that are on the record, because if you actually looked at opening day payrolls across baseball and you looked at the actual revenue, you could see that the split in baseball with players was closer to 60-40 in favor of the owners, even though baseball players have great salaries and have always done well against the owners in their negotiations. And over the years, they've been willing to go on strike. They're willing to say, nope, we'll go home and shut it down. And they have, and they've won. Baseball players have the strongest union in all of sports.
Yep.
And they've fought back against the owner and created free agency. And they've done a lot of the stuff that is in modern sports came out of baseball and their players fighting back against owners. Let me read you something from a story on The Ringer in 2018. which says the revenue breakdown between owners and players is a fundamental data point. It's difficult to decide what, if anything, needs to be done about baseball's market without first coming to a consensus about where the market currently is. It says MLB players have resisted a salary cap that might make it simpler to establish what the player's share should be. Let's say 50-50. A 50-50 split sounds fairer and much more sympathy-inducing from a PR perspective than a 60-40 split. An even distribution would also bring baseball in line with the salary-capped NFL, NBA, and NHL, all of which allocate close to 50% of their revenue to players. In December of 2015, so the quote is from 2015, the story is from 2018, MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark, in speaking to the LA Times, said that the player's share of the revenue was as close to 50% as it had been in a long time. He said that his expectation was that the split would stay right in that general area. That was his quote, stay right in that general area and, quote, wouldn't have agreed to the deal otherwise. A 50-50 split seems to be the target that the Players Association has set for itself. Huh. That's what they were saying. They were saying, yeah, 50-50 split would be great. We got to get a 50-50 split. And now that the 50-50 split is less because there's less revenue, now all of a sudden they don't want that. And right. That's where I'm going to call bull crap on them. I didn't realize that it was a 60-40 split because they do so well that owners are doing even better. And they've been aiming for a 50-50 split. So if that precedent gets set, what the hell is Tony Clark going to be pissed about? If you have to spend half the revenue on the players, it could benefit them in the long run.
Yeah.
It may not benefit them for the next 2 or 3 years, but over the next 10 it will. Over the next 20 it will. And this is what he was saying in 2015 to the LA Times he wanted to shoot for his players. So now it's changed only because of their short-term goals of getting as much money as they can this season. And it's short-sighted, and it just goes against what they've said in the past. So that would be my issue with Tony Clark and the union right now. You guys wanted a 50-50 split. That's going to benefit you in the long run. Take it. Go yeah. for it. So I don't know. It's according to MLB's data, as of 2015, this decade, from 2010 to 2018, the revenue that was paid out to players was within 1.5 percentage points of the 50% mark. For all 8 seasons, starting in 2010, they're close Jeez. To that already.
They're already close to it, and just it and kind of an over a more overall point on this, Beetle. I think it's ridiculous to think that anything that happens this year would somehow be precedent setting going forward. Like now, all bets are off based on what's going on right now. Anybody who's sitting down at a negotiating table. For next year, say you're from the players' side and say, well, you know, we managed to get through a lot of this stuff by working out from home. So I think going forward, we should do home workouts for the most part and then just show up when we're able to play games again. Like, no, you're doing that, based on what's happening right. with the pandemic. So for anyone to think that, yeah, it's really dangerous to talk about anything that could be construed as salary cap because that sets a precedent going forward. No, there are no precedents being set right now. These are emergency measures being taken during an emergency situation, a global emergency. You can't point back to this and say, well, we did it back then, so why not do it now?
And it's you know ridiculous. What else you get to do?
It is an absolute BS line of reasoning. Based on a fear that would never come to pass. No one's going to use what's happening right now as a means to the way things should be done in the future when it comes to business dealings. Maybe for public health.
Oh, Hardy, I wouldn't trust the owners. Masks. They don't trust the owners. I wouldn't trust the owners either. So I get why there's distrust there. I wouldn't trust any of them.
I think it's silly to have that fear, thinking that they're going to point back to 2020 as the year that you did things and it worked out well. That's nonsense.
Right, but their fear is all of a sudden the owners say, in 2021 and 2022 and 2023, you know, we're still reeling from that. So, you know, I don't blame players for not trusting owners. I don't blame them at all. But you knew this was coming. And if you were smart, you would have had an appropriate reaction to it. You'd have a plan. And they don't have a plan. They're flat-footed. They are stuck. They have a guy who's in over his head in Tony Clark, and that is being obviously shown by the way that Scott Boras, an agent, has all of a sudden become the spokesperson for the players. If you have a strong leader of the union, you don't hear from the agent. You're hearing from the guy who's at the front of this. If Donald Fehr were still running baseball's union, you'd be hearing from Donald Fehr, and he'd have something to say about it, and he'd have a plan, and he might try and use this to his advantage, because the biggest thing they can do now is say, sure, we'll take your 50-50 splits. Now you got to open your books, all of them. Show us everything. Show us all the hidden money. Show us all that money you're stashing on your local networks. We want to see everything. And then if the owners don't do it, then it's back on them. Put it back on the owners. Yep, we agree. But to be fair, you now need a level of transparency that we're willing to bet is going to make you a little bit uncomfortable. So go ahead, open the books, and we'll do the split. No problem. But they're not smart enough to do that, and that's aggravating because they need better leadership. They don't have a plan, and they don't have a strong leader right now. That's becoming very apparent with baseball players. And they are going to get their ass kicked in the court of public opinion. And it's already started, and they've got players that are talking out of line, like Blake Snell. Wait till you hear this moron. That's next.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blake Snell, he's the ace of the Tampa Bay Rays. He did a Twitch session answering questions from fans, and his comments are making some waves based on what he said on this Twitch broadcast. I called him a moron at the end of the segment. That felt a little strong. But I'll tell you this. I think he's a moron for how he's making this argument, because he's conflating his arguments, and he's trying to tie it all into one thing. And so let's hear from Blake Snell and hear what he has to say.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And what? And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening, because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that?
This is why his argument is completely stupid. Is it about not playing because you're concerned for your health? Or is it about not playing because you're concerned about your paycheck?
He's throwing everything
because
in.
Because you combine those into one thing, and those are not all the same thing. Because if it's about your health, and he does sound concerned about getting coronavirus and the unknown lasting impact of having contracted it, okay, you're worried about taking that risk, you're worried about playing. So you don't want to play because your salary is halved, but if your salary was 100%, you'd be perfectly okay taking that risk? Which is it? You either want to take the risk or you don't.
Well, I think that's it was 80% pay. He's on the 80% pay thing, and then he just threw that. Well, it's also I'm out there, I'm at risk.
I'm the last guy to criticize anybody about not wanting to take the risk of getting it. Fine. Great. That's okay. That's understandable why someone would have fears of getting it. If that's what it is and you don't want to go and play because of that, then it's because of that. If you don't want to play because you feel you're not making enough, then it's about not making enough money and you say, I'm going to stay home. And I understand how the two can cross. Whereas if you're on the fence and you have a lot of fear about it and then you find out my pay's cut, you're like, well, you know what? This makes my decision easier.
Yeah.
The
physical demands for them to get ready to play and what those pitchers go through and what it would take for him to ramp up versus what he's getting paid in an already shrunken year, plus you add in the fact of the health risk.
So,
like, how many other guys feel like
him? Players, you're 100% okay getting coronavirus as long as you get your full salary for the year?
That's the way it sounds.
What the hell kind of logic is that?
I don't know. I don't
know what
he's trying to say. I mean, this, obviously,
what's up, bro?
He hasn't written this down. He hasn't thought this out. But in the middle of it, when he starts talking about it's a half season and a half pay, and, I know all that. It's like he sounds like he's accepting that part. What it sounds like to me is that he doesn't want to take a further cut in pay, but then he just kind of blows it all up by saying, I got to get paid all my money.
You wouldn't believe the take-home pay when you make millions now. It dwindles down to nothing once they take those taxes out.
Well, he said he ain't making bleep to begin with. So what's he in at, $7 million? So what's he taking home, really? What, three?
Yeah, and okay, so
it's not going to be no. Don't confuse this. Getting your pay right now is not you get one half of your salary for the year. It's less than that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's down to 3.5, and he did tack on the rest that they want to renegotiate now. Probably about 2.8 before taxes.
Right. Does anyone think that players are going to be happy about this?
No.
That this is what anyone would wish for. Of course not. But the fact is, and again, this is where I start to lose a lot of sympathy for these guys. They are going to get paid something this year if they start playing. There are a lot of people out there who are going to make nothing, that have already either been furloughed or laid off or just outright gone. Right. The business doesn't exist anymore. It's all done. So for him to go off and say, it's not enough money, I'm not making enough money to do what I do, and I got to get paid, you're not going to get any sympathy from all of the people out there right now who have filed for unemployment in record numbers. They are making no money. You expect people to sympathize with you, and he says, no, I don't expect you. What is the quote that I don't think you're going to agree with me? I'm sorry you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher. No, man, it's really
higher
not
than what? Because it's not going to be higher than the average American worker. It's actually going to be significantly less. So I don't know what that means either. I thought that was a stupid part of his argument too. It wasn't a very well thought out argument that he was making here on the Twitch.
No.
See, these guys pay their agents a ton of money. You let the agents do your dirty work. If you truly feel that way, speak to your agent and have him, do that with the union and reflect your opinion to baseball. How many other players feel like him? I hope there aren't a lot, because that's very damning for the sport.
Well, according to Jared Carabas, Barstool Sports, good friend of ours. Let me read his tweet from earlier when he retweeted Blake Snell 3 hours ago and said Blake Snell, or he retweeted the video. He said Blake Snell is saying what a lot in all caps, of other players are thinking right now. I agree with him 1,000%, and I'd feel the exact same way if I were in his position. Good for him for saying it. I won't address that part of it. I'll just address the beginning. That is, if a lot of players are thinking that, this is over. They're not coming back. If there are a lot of players that feel the way Blake Snell is, then that's it. This thing has no shot. And I've been wrong, and the labor negotiation will get in the way and will derail it. Forget all the other hurdles they would have to overcome. Even if they're able to overcome those hurdles, they're now going to still have this roadblock. So I'm guessing it's over.
Wow, that's bad.
If they've got a lot of guys thinking that same way, and make no mistake, this is not a negotiation tactic from Blake Snell. This is pure ignorance and greed. That's what this all stems from. He's not negotiating on behalf of, you know, his fellow baseball players and union members. This is him in a moment of pathological honesty saying, "I got to get mine." So how many guys are gonna be on that side?
Literally, I got to get mine.
Yeah, and how many are gonna be on the side of who's the guy that Shaughnessy referenced? Mark Teixeira,
yes.
Who said players need to understand if they turn this deal down and they shut the sport down, they're not making a cent, like no money. So what is it? Do you want to make some money or do you want to make no money? And you're going to have to worry about whether or not it sets a precedent on a league level and collective bargaining agreements in the future down the road. My guess is that neither the league nor the unions will point back to this year and use it as an example of how things should be done in the future. Nobody wants to do things like this again in the future. So you're going to have to just take that on faith and get out there and play if you want to make any money. If money is the most important thing to you, then the decision should be an easy one. Let's go play for whatever we can make this year and salvage some money. Because, you know, talk about a study in contrast. Says, I got to get paid. I'm not getting out there. Well, stand firm on that one. You won't make a dime. Is that what you want?
I mean, in normal circumstances, I can understand that, but not now. I don't understand that now, right? I mean, go back to the times that the players have gone on strike. That same argument would apply. I would say that those are different circumstances. Whereas right now, it's pretty obvious why there needs to be a change. And the other part is that if you are thinking that it's about health reasons, then fine. It's about health reasons. You don't want to play, and you won't be coming to play. And okay, they won't cut you a check, and you're not going to play. That's fine. You've decided you're not going to work. That's what you're deciding. But if it were just about that, it would just be about that. Blake Snell would say, "Oh, you know, I'm not really concerned with what the money is because I'm very concerned about the risk of contracting the virus, and I don't want to take that risk that they're trying to make us take." But he didn't say that.
No,
he said, "Oh, I'm taking all the risk. You've got to pay me all my money. I'm so concerned about these risks I'm taking. Oh, this is horrible for me. I can't do that. But if you pay me my full salary, I'll be happy to show up." Well, wait a minute then. So you're just putting a price on that? Is that what you're doing? I don't know. It's suspect. And I think that the union and Scott Boras and all these players, if they're feeling that way, again, they could not have managed this thing worse for themselves. Because they are going to lose on every front. They're going to lose with the owners. They're going to lose in the court of public opinion. They're going to lose all their money that they could have had this year. They'll just lose. And they're choosing that path for themselves. Nobody else is doing that to them. 617-779-0985, the phone number. Let's grab some of your calls. Hold on one second. Let's go to Smitty in Jersey. Smitty.
Hey, guys, I have to totally agree with you, Mark and Hardy, regarding it's just like a sense of entitlement these guys have that, you know, I think they're so out of touch with what's going on in the world with almost 40 million people out of work right now. Just, you know, get your heads together and just get together, get on the table and start putting everything together. I understand about, you know, medical-wise, but it just shows that society as a whole, everybody's, you know, out of work trying to put together, and these guys are just looking to that extra money or whatever they have to do to get past it. But, you know, I understand where they're coming from contractually, but, guys, look what's going on in the world, man. Let's put our priorities in order here, you know. But, you know, put your differences aside and just try to get bring baseball back, bring football back, bring basketball back, and let the country move forward, you know.
Well, yeah, listen, it's an unusual platform he uses, too. You go on Twitch and you're going to mouth off to people out there, and then it spreads. I mean, this isn't even an interview.
Some of it speaks to what you said earlier, though, Zoe, about
they live in their own world, man.
A lot of these guys live in their own bubble, and they're surrounded by people.
They kiss their
livelihoods
and elevate them.
Depend on them making as much money as possible, so their cut goes up and their BS jobs go up in terms of whatever they do for these guys as a member of their quote-unquote organization or team. So they've got, they're surrounded by people saying, you got to get as much money as you can. You have to do this. And it's, you know, it's about respect and it's about this and it's about that. And so, yeah, they are conditioned in a way from a lot of these people that it's, I'm not using it as an excuse. I'm just trying to get in the mindset of somebody who could say something so completely tone deaf as Blake Snell did to try and figure out why he would say it. Well, that's one of the reasons why he's saying
it. It's completely in line, though, not just on labor issues, but in general, how baseball players sound on any issue, how tone deaf they are, pace of play, needing to make changes to the game, right? Think of all the stupid things that players have said about that and how out of touch they've seemed with their fan base and the general public on a lot of different things, not labor stuff, game stuff. You know, things related to their sport and its popularity and where it's going in the future. They've always sounded this way, and that's why I don't think they have people that are eagerly willing to agree with them on this one. Pete's in Weymouth. Hey, Pete.
There's something really suspect to me about three people whose livelihoods depend on the presence of sports arguing that the labor should be taking pay cuts to return to work during a pandemic. This seems kind of self-serving to me. I don't see anything. I think the onus should be on the owners. I think that if there's going to be public opinion against anybody, it should be the owners should step up and say, you know what, if we're going to bring the product back and you're going to take elevated health risk, we're going to pay you your full guaranteed salaries, even if it's an abbreviated season. That's who the outrage should be with if baseball needs to come back as some kind of public service, which it absolutely doesn't.
So you think we're being disingenuous in our arguments here that we don't really feel that way? The only reason
I think you do better if sports comes back, and it's weird to me hearing you guys against, you know what I mean? I have to think of that motivation when I hear you guys railing against players wanting to get paid what they agreed to.
You don't want sports to come back?
You do realize how these players get paid and how revenue is made.
About it, you know what I mean?
No, but I'm sorry. You do understand how you rely on gates and season tickets and walk-up tickets and how you pay salary.
The owners are better equipped to withstand a hit financially than the players are. Even though they all make a lot of money, and they make more money than me and you and all that, that's true. But there's still labor, and it's still labor versus management on that end. And I don't think it's different than any job. People that I know being asked to take pay cuts or have their health insurance yanked away from them at a time like this, I think the owners could withstand it. Largely, the players couldn't. I think they should fight for everything.
So you're against people taking pay cuts right now? Is that what it is? You're against that?
I'm against, across the board, people getting pay cuts. Yeah. I think people should be getting raises right now, of course.
Well, then you live in a dream world, you idiot.
That must be happy land.
Certified idiot. Yep. Okay. Everyone should be getting raises right now.
Beetle.
Great. We don't even need to discuss his call because he exposed himself as a fool at the end for everyone to hear it. So we're done. We don't even have to do it. We're going to get to the top of the hour, and we may or may not have a guest with us.
We do. We have him. We have him.
All right, next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.